George Capanelli here for another edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts, authors. We have provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with some great music.
Our topic, fool's gold. We're going to look at the fact that not all that glitters is gold, and that there are some goals we pursue with great energy that may not be what they seem and may not in the end get us home. Today you'll hear a short interview Alan conducted with me. It's part of our effort to give you, our listeners, a little bit more insight into who we are as your hosts.
And we have the music interludes today with the golden voice to talking about gold, Leonard Cohen, does Anthem and Democracy. Also Joan Baez in the mix with Imagine. Our special features today, a segment from President Eisenhower's Military Industrial Complex Farewell. It's classic. It's a speech. George and I will also bring you a special You've Got to Be Kidding segment, and he'll close today with another provocative commentary.
So welcome to this place where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century.
The birds, they sang at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yeah, the war, they will be fought again. The holy dove.
Forget about likes and dislikes. They are of no consequence. Just do what must be done. This may not be happiness, but it is greatness. That quote from George Bernard Shaw leads us into our topic today, Fool's Gold. Let's begin with a question. Is happiness important to you? Until recently, it's been very close to the top of the list of goals for us. In fact, we've spent a substantial portion, no, a very significant portion of our lives searching for this elusive, glittering, tempting thing called happiness. And we have, we might add, conducted our search with varying degrees of fervor, ranging from casual interest to outright obsession. Indeed, at times, happiness has not only been our goal, but the state or condition to which we felt we were entitled. Consequently, when we woke up on any particular day and happiness wasn't present, or worse yet, that the probability of it showing up in that relationship, job, or life circumstance seemed to be growing thin, we often concluded that something was seriously wrong with that relationship, job, life circumstance, or with God, or at last and final resort, with us.
Conversely, each time we started a new relationship, got a new job, or a new friendship, moved into a new house, or were introduced to a new opportunity, we were inclined to assume that this was it. This new whomever, whatever, was finally going to be our key to happiness. You're probably familiar with the storyline. Most of us are. Most of us also know that as time passes, every new job seems to become more ordinary or less interesting. The new love, sometimes a little or a lot more tarnished than the last one, and the new friendship, house, or life strategy begins to show some of the same old challenges and problems we encountered in the last one.
In this if this experience matches yours, then also know that once this realization sets in, we begin to experience another familiar condition called unhappiness or disappointment. In fact, a large number of us live lives in which we alternate between these poles, suffering disappointments from the appointments we've made with happiness. In our case, when happiness has started to show some of its less attractive faces, we've found ourselves telling ourselves that our disappointment or unhappiness must surely have something to do with our new love or with the new job or our new boss. Maybe there was something about the new home we hadn't noticed when we moved in, or maybe the new life strategy or game plan at work wasn't so foolproof after all. Last but not least, when disappointment or unhappiness shows up, we often find ourselves with no rational reason. We blame it on fate or karma, or after numerous attempts at that old game of pin the tail on the donkey, we once again direct our attention back to God and then eventually, of course, to ourselves.
Understandable, of course. Disappointment and unhappiness are not easy things to stomach, and most of us have had more than our share of both. The truth is, most of our hearts are sore from the disappointments we've experienced, and of course, most of us keep forgetting that here on this earth, where duality is the rule, our search for happiness guarantees that this opposite state called unhappiness will and must always come up the next time on the wheel of life. And what about balance? What about balance? Of course, when we're in the heat and hustle of the daily dance of life, left, right, you know, conservative, liberal, it's easy to forget duality is running the show. Easy to forget what Buddha called the Dharma and right livelihood and right action. So in this full circle of looking to place blame for our unhappiness or disappointment, we decide there must be some psychological wound or cause, some childhood drama, early betrayal or loss that is at the root of our unhappiness. And maybe it is, but after all, that's what our psychologists are telling us. What do we know?
And yet, after numerous hours of therapy and countless excursions to seminars and workshops that promise relief, and even greater numbers of hours spent reading books, watching DVDs, and listening to CD programs that address the flaws, we begin to realize our search to discover why we are unhappy or why we suffer so much disappointment is no more productive than our previous attempts at either finding happiness or placing blame on others or fate or God for our failure to do so. While this search for why, provides us with new perspectives on ourselves and our world and a few new tools to practice, the truth is most of us notice that all the digging around or blaming does not really do much to enhance our ability to live in the present, where we know that our only solutions lie. So eventually we get to the point where we realize that there is not a single cause or root problem. We recognize that we have to consider another larger question. Is it our goal, happiness, that needs to be examined? Is it possible that our search for happiness is where some of the problem lays? Let's pause here and leave you that question for a little while, and then we'll come back later to it.
Heart and soul embodied again. The dove is never free. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a That's how the light gets in. We asked for signs. The signs were sent. The birth betrayed.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Alan Huttner here, George Capinelli there, right across the mic, and it's time for us to promise you what we did last week as we head into the new year, just giving you a little more substance on who your co-hosts are. You probably get some sense of it, but, we're interviewing each other. George went into my deeper self last week a little bit, and I'll do the same here. So first, a little bit of background. George Capinelli, co-founder with Sedina Capinelli of Age Nation, agenation.com, event producer, workshop facilitator, personal and organizational coach and consultant, Emmy award-winning TV director, producer, artist, sculptor, many things, author and co-author of a number of books, amongst other accomplishments, his latest book, which we have talked about on air, co-authored with his wife, Sedina, is a multiple award winner titled Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. It captures the essence of what has been his life, what has come before, in his writings, including Say Yes to Change, Authenticity, and I Dream of a New America, all of which have been discussed on the radio show. Elizabeth Rose and I, co-producers of Transitions Radio Magazine, have had these folks on a number of times before we started Age Nation Radio Magazine, that started our relationship together about a decade ago. And here we are now, still here.
Still here.
Still here now. Uh-huh. Ready to engage a new year. So, George, the bio resume exemplifies your best achievements. Maybe we go a little deeper and first briefly, how old are you? What's your birthplace and family of origin? A little bit of genetics and DNA that is George Campanelli.
Well, I grew up in New England, a little town called Lynnfield on the North Shore of Boston. Family, a very typical and terrific Italian family. Both my mother and father descended from that lineage. Although our family, my immediate family was small, I only have one sister who's older. We had a very large family. So life in the beginning was filled with a lot of joy and celebration and the craziness that large families bring, you know.
How old was your sister in relationship to you?
She's 4 years older than I am.
Uh-huh.
And I'm heading down the pipe in my 72nd year toward my 73rd.
Uh-huh.
And but it was a great way to begin. My folks were just so supportive and encouraging. And I believed that there really wasn't anything I couldn't do. And that has served me remarkably well in my life.
Yeah, not everybody has that family support and that love, you know.
No.
What challenges do you think were the most significant, as you were growing up and in your life to overcome that has helped you awaken to a deeper awareness or level of self-discovery? You know, the grist for the mill stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think even with that really terrific, warm, and gracious family background, the truth of the matter is I always felt like I was born in the wrong time. You know, it was like I had a great childhood and played sports and did all of those sorts of things, great social group that I went through school with. But somehow I always felt like an outsider. And it wasn't until I went to Europe for the first time. I was 19 when I went to Europe for the first time. And I was sitting in a cafe in Spain and watching people, and for the first time in my life, I felt like I wasn't crazy, that I had actually been born in the right time, but that I had a different rhythm, a different sense of pace, a different sense of values than a lot of people around me. And
how does Europe facilitate that? And, our life here in, the U.S. of A. Doesn't for so many of us.
Well, there's just something about the historical perspective that's in a culture, the sense of rhythm, what people value, at least what they valued then. Unfortunately, I think the American disease of productivity and performance has infected most of the world now. But at that particular point, it was a drastic difference in pace and rhythm and what people valued, family, food, enjoyment, siestas, a whole way of life.
Different pacing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have socialized medicine.
Yeah.
With single payer plans.
Yeah. I mean,
they're not too dumb across the seas, huh?
Yeah. And so that really But that sense of dislocation fed a lot of the journey that I would later take, you know, the things that I was prompted to investigate, the books that fell off shelves that hit me and woke me up to another reality, teachers that inspired me, you know. When I look back on my life, it's just a flow of grace, really, for all of the ups and downs and challenges and whatnot. Grace has been with me all the way through, you know.
Grace, yeah. You know, I believe you had military experience, too. I mean, you know, that's something that is so in fashion in our society, you know, the glorification of war and conflict. In retrospect, what do you think about that?
Well, I had a choice. A lot of my friends were opting out. They were going to Canada. They were getting notes from doctors claiming, you know, mental instability and all the rest of it. And frankly, it just didn't match my level of personal integrity. Not that I had any favor of military engagement. Rather than participate in the Army and other kinds of things, I elected to go through an OCS program and became a young naval officer and was really blessed there, too. I worked with some extraordinary people. I was on a number of staffs of admirals, and so I had a lot of experience. And I also found, however, that I began to fully understand that it was like children playing with weapons and whatnot that could, in fact, destroy the world. And that also sent me in a very different direction.
As is the case with a lot of military people today, I'm not making it wrong. You know, some people think that what they're doing is the right thing, that they're protecting the country. There's way more to the story as you get higher and higher into the plutocracy or oligarchy. But they wake up and they realize that this is not the way. So.
And yet there are a lot of incredibly decent, courageous people, many of whom give their lives, you know, in service. From there, I just went in a totally different direction. You know, I left the country for a while and became an expatriate and lived in Italy in the mountains and was working on the great American novel. And
you did your vision quest.
I did part of my vision quest. And along the way, I just kept being exposed to wonderful new ideas and things that propelled me. You know, they talk about people talk about reincarnation. The truth of the matter is, I believe that I've been blessed to have lived multiple lives within this single life, and each one of them has brought me closer to home.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was 9 years ago on Transitions Radio Magazine, about this time, that we rang in the new year together. This was around the book Authenticity.
Yeah.
Okay. And we discussed how to be more real, truthful, and authentic. And so, you know, then to now, what would you say is the most important transformational axiom aspects of this? That is, authenticity and truth, you know, as we move ahead with a mission and a vision.
Well, I think that being involved with Age Nation, when I started, I had one foot in and one foot out. But as I have aged and dealt with a lot of the personal issues that aging brings, I think it has sandpapered even more of the superficial and gotten me an awful lot closer to core. And I think that's where real authenticity and originality and purpose for life come from.
You know, I equate authenticity with truth.
Yes.
And I equate truth with love. I mean, they're all intertwined. And one of my axioms has been love and truth are two sides of a coin. Speak briefly about love before we take a break here.
It's the essential. Without it, nothing else is worth it, frankly. And the more love that we're able to express for ourselves and others, the better and richer our world becomes.
Okay. L-O-V-E.
Thanks, Alan.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
George and Alan back. Alan, nice job. Thanks. It's nice being on the other side of the mic, too, you know, and you always do just a great job.
Well, thanks for saying that. It was fun digging into your life a little bit and, you know, just of all the things you've done and, you know, your bio is pretty massive. I mentioned the Emmy Award-winning TV direction and production early on. I did not mention a lesser-known aspect of your work in the past, and that is serving as a political consultant in U.S. presidential and Senate campaigns. And yeah, still, as we bring content to the show, you have a little political leaning. You know, you're the politicist, I'm the spiritualist. Maybe we cross over. Obviously, we both have similar interests. But, you know, I'm just wondering, with all the attributes that you have and we have in Age Nation and Transitions Radio Magazine and everything, how do we get traction in this new year to affect the political scene a little differently? It doesn't look that good out there, you know?
No, and we're going to talk about some of that in just a little bit. But I think it all comes back to the power of one. You know, it comes back to each of us taking responsibility in a different kind of way. Mm-hmm. And that it's certainly the changes that we're all looking for are certainly not going to come from government.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good. And I love you saying the power one. We did an I Ching throw for Transitions Radio Magazine with this professor in Australia who has written the latest, best, most comprehensive I Ching translation. And I said, can we throw the coins, you know, about 2015? Uh-huh. And, of course, he was able to do better commentary than I would ever or read what's in the book.
Sure.
He was amazing. And the one thing he said that was inspiring with the rocky road ahead is what you just said, that the I Ching says to stay in your commitment to the truth or maybe love or the unified field, the Tao, the all that is, and don't be discouraged by what's going on outside. And as you and I have talked before, look where we are. I mean, you know, for those folks out there who don't know it, I mean, we live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's one of the top five destinations every year for other reasons, maybe vacation and you know, but it's steeped in tradition, spirit, you know, the land, the indigenous culture. So we have a blessing. I think the blessing comes from the choices that we've made in our lives, our cause and effect karma in the chapters, not necessarily the lifetimes, but, you know, the last few chapters. Here we are.
Yes.
What a gift.
We are indeed. And let's see what... Let's see what Leonard Cohen has to say.
You want to see Leonard
Yeah,
Cohen?
Let's see what he has to say about this.
This is my favorite Leonard Cohen song.
Okay. Democracy is coming, all right. It's time for You Gotta Be Kidding, when we look at, you know, both the wild and the wacky and the wonderful. Today, we're going to use this segment to talk about what we call the year of vigilance and commitment. I actually think that democracy was a gift that we inherited, and now it's a gift that we have to earn. That's especially true because in just a few days, the most reactionary and regressive Congress in modern American history, perhaps ever, will convene. Hmm. And except for the most uninformed and naive among us who believe it doesn't matter, most of us know, or at least sense, that this Congress will challenge the well-being of our way of life for the majority of us, the stability of the commons and the very foundations of democracy as never before. And in our opinion, unless we the people are very vigilant and committed, the Mitch McConnells and the John Boner, Boehner, Booners, and a number of other radicals, right-wing zealots, who speak on behalf of billionaires, will do all in their power to push an extremist corporate agenda.
Yeah. The word that came up as you were saying that, I'll get into the next one, was ignorance, you know, and ignore sense.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So these people, as Robert Weissman at Public Citizen points out and makes some predictions that the Koch brothers and their minions, who they've been able to place in Congress as a result of Citizens United and big money, are preparing a legislative offensive to eviscerate critical consumer economic, clean air, water, workplace safeguards. And unless we are very alert, they will do this before the majority of us even understand what is happening. They will also attempt to repeal the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reforms. Some of this has already happened in the bogus government funding bill. They'll also attempt to repeal or defund the Affordable Care Act.
Although the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has already saved consumers hundreds of millions of dollars, there'll be serious efforts to reduce its strength. Citizens United is a disaster. The midterms, the most expensive election in history, made a mockery of democracy. $4 billion was spent. More than a billion of this came from outside private groups. More than 600 million of that billion came from just 42 individuals. Indeed, when 42 people have the kind of influence, our democracy is in jeopardy. In addition, only 37% of those eligible to vote voted, and in many instances, people who wanted to vote were kept from the polls by intentional efforts that prevented people from exercising their rights. And frankly, if you're someone who did not vote in this last election, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. And you know that old expression, George, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I think we can take a little bit of, let's call it jurisprudence, and make elections easier. Why not vote from a computer in your home? There's a way to track URLs and everything, you know, and require people to vote. If you don't vote, you lose certain rights. That's all.
Well, you're going to anyway.
Yeah.
Well, soon.
Yeah. So just briefly on the subject of air to breathe, water to drink, and health care, which is, you know, just top of the list, because if you're not healthy, you're dumb. The Mitch McConnell, John Boehner tag team will oppose even modest measures to keep the air, water clean and to avert catastrophic climate change. And because of the influence of big pharma in bankrolling key congressional leaders, they're calling on the FDA to lighten its scrutiny of new medications and devices, and these changes will result in real human suffering and loss of life.
Look, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all of these things are at risk. So look, we invite you, we encourage you, stay awake, stay involved, no matter how discouraged or disgusted you are by the political process that's been going on in Washington. There are people who are committed to turning America into an oligarchy. You can't give them free vein. So if you value your way of life, if you want your children and grandchildren to have a chance at a quality of life, stay vigilant, stay committed, because the nation you save will be your own.
Here you go, Leonard.
It's coming through a crack in the wall on a visionary flood of alcohol from the staggering account of the Sermon on the Mount, which I don't pretend to understand at all. It's coming from the silence on the dock of the bay, from the brave, the bold, the battered heart of Chevrolet. The mock is coming to the USA.
Age Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life. Challenges in life? Solutions ahead. Age Nation Radio.
So, George and Alan back for the fourth segment. We thought, considering the theme today, that it might be appropriate to give you an opportunity to rehear a segment of Dwight David Eisenhower's farewell speech on the military-industrial complex. I think it is one of the most insightful and valuable pieces of wisdom that any of our presidents have imparted to us before their departure.
We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
With the incomparable Imagine from John Lennon, and now the incomparable By George, provocative commentary.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about happiness and the fact that our perpetual search for it and the belief that other people, experiences, and things will make us happy may be at the heart of the problem. If this is true, if it is not fate or a flawed partner or even a flawed us or a flawed God that is at issue here, and if the goal of happiness is not as valid as we first thought, indeed if happiness is not really the true gold of experience but instead a kind of fool's gold, then what do we do? After all, happiness sparkles and glitters. It seems so tangible and tantalizingly available, especially when the content on television, particularly in commercials and the pages of contemporary magazines and the windows and stores in our shopping malls, promise happiness. Trips to magical destinations, shiny cars, beautiful clothes, expensive jewelry, makeovers, elegant houses, trim and sexy bodies, sensuous food, and of course, the perfect relationship. Yes, the message is clear. If we buy more, possess more, use this or that product or service, we'll become thin or rich or powerful or successful or independent or more desirable, and in turn will be admired, respected, sexually satisfied, and of course, very, very happy. Would that it were that simple, but it's not, is it? Money, power, fame, beauty, these things may at times make our lives seem to be a little easier or provide us with some opportunities or experiences we think we desire, but only for a while. At other times, they seem to lessen the challenge and pains that are unavoidable parts of life experience. But in the end, as our own lives and the history of the world so clearly demonstrates, other people, possessions, and experiences, and our constant search for happiness in the form of security and safety and satisfaction only forestall the inevitable for a while. because in the end, none of these things can truly address what is deeper and undeniably true. We are afraid. Afraid of change, afraid of impermanence, afraid ultimately of death and the mystery that it represents. Of course, for a long time, this awareness did not deter us from continuing our search. In fact, we went from one mining operation to the next, one job to the next, one relationship to the next, one scheme to get rich or thin or buff or wonderful or successful to the next. Yet, the truth is, no changes of lifestyle, no searches with career, no therapist or spiritual practice ends up leading us away from the mother lode, which we believe is happiness. It's only when it dawned on us that our lives were passing and that we were still not experiencing happiness, only when it became obvious that we might actually die without ever having fully lived, that we got serious about examining this thing called happiness. But if happiness isn't the goal, what is? Our conclusion is that what we are looking for is, in fact, what has been right in front of us each and every moment of our lives, the ability and willingness to be present, the courage to listen to the prompts and dictates of our heart, and to do what we've come here to do, actually live life with curiosity, live life as an adventure, live life fully with passion and engagement. And that means accepting and not trying to run away from the duality that life on the physical plane involves. Positive and negative, pain and pleasure, the ups and downs, the struggle and the darkness, the breakthroughs and the light, for that is life. That is truth. So, as so many wise men and women throughout the ages have told us, the infinite intelligence that lies at the heart of life puts the real secrets right in front of us, right inside of us, right in the heart of each moment. That's why we believe it's time, as the rabbit told Alice, time to finally say no to these outer-directed voices and sirens that keep counseling us to go for the glitter. Time to give up the restlessness and always disappointing search for happiness. Time to accept that Earth is a giant school in which we can learn, and that we learn best when we listen to the wisdom of our hearts and sing the song of our souls.
Oh, thanks, George. What a great message. I love that you brought in this duality thing again. You know, I mean, enlightenment means you understand duality and you dance within its polarities. And gets back to what we talked about earlier, love and truth, two sides of a coin. So that's the way to live your life. We'll continue to bring you a lot of truth and love here on the show. Next week, another deeper look at things that support you in living the life you were born to live. A terrific conversation between George and mystic and spiritual teacher, one of my favorite guys, Andrew Harvey.
Next week, more great program. Also, we're announcing our new Navigating Your Future conference series. Great people, 7 weekends throughout the year in Seattle. Sonia Choquette, Mark Nepo, Gail Sheehy, Greg Braden, Sedina and me, and other leading wisdom keepers will be posting the complete schedule on agenation.com, so stay tuned. And we look forward to spending more time with you next week. And right now, we look forward to spending some more time with the incomparable Joan Baez.
The best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.